46, chapter verse 1 of Psalms. Deacon Holloman used it in his first line of his prayer. God is our refuge and our strength. I said, Lord, you sure enough is telling me to preach this today. 46:1. I'm going to ask Deacon Smith. Deacon Smith, would you read that for us? Read 1 through 7 for us, if you don't mind. 46:1-7.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and that right early. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to come with a title, Where Do I Go But to the Lord? Where do I go but to the Lord? We are, as I was saying in early openings of our service, it seems like there's trouble on every hand. That's more trouble than I remember. Maybe it's because I'm being involved in the troubles and trying to rectify the troubles. I haven't had it personally to me, but they're happening to people that know me. And so, therefore, it's happening to me because I am being moved by it, affected by it. And so when I look at that and I just wonder, God, what are you saying to your people? It is good to know that you have a place of refuge. The word refuge means a place of solitude, a place of protection, a place where you have your own space, and that it's safe and sound and it's comforting. You know, when you were young and when you didn't have to provide your own way, I used to love. Man, we could go home and we could be in our house and we couldn't see the outside through the roof. Because a lot of homes where I come from, you can see the outside from upstairs. You can see outside the house.
Yes, sir.
And when the winter came, they just load the blankets on. But they my grandpa's house was like that, you know. It got cold. You could see your breath in the night blowing out. Praise God you didn't have to go to the bathroom because you were in trouble. It was down the road a little piece. And so, man, it was good to know that you had when I went to my parents' house, that I had a nice place of refuge. It was comforting, and I knew that there was not going to be no leak coming in, no water, no pail here and a pail there to collect water. You might, I'm talking about that's where I come from.
I know what you mean, sir.
But God has given us a place of refuge where we, right now, we have food on our table. Our children have a reasonable portion of common sense. Come on. Okay, now, I know you might not know what I'm talking about, but some of us have been around for a while. We can see some crazy stuff come from our kids. You know? Some of you are so fortunate. God bless you. But most of the world looks for their refuge in other things. In the drugs. Some look for their refuge in alcohol. This is how they find solitude. They're looking for the same thing that Christians get from Christ, but they don't know where to turn because they have not leaned upon the Lord our God. That's the only place we got to go is to the Lord. Where could I go but to the Lord? I'm glad that the Christian's refuge is Jesus. He said that he'll be there. Yes. He said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, come on, fear no evil.
Well,
for my rod and my staff, they do comfort you. I'm with you.
Yes.
I got you. But all you got to do is trust and believe. Trust and believe. This is where we have our issues. How much trust? How much do we trust God? Some of us trust him a whole lot. Some of us trust him when I can see him.
Yeah,
right. If I don't see him, we're like Thomas.
God.
Thomas said, unless I can put my hand in his thigh, unless I can see his wounds, I will not believe. That's an apostle, y'all.
Right.
I ain't talking about just the average human being. I'm talking about one of the apostles. That's where they are. So that's why you and I are given so much grace. Because we have not seen. Jesus said, he that have not seen and yet believe. How gracious it is for them. That's where we fall into that category. He said here in the verse, in the second verse here, I mean, it's the first verse. God is our refuge and strength.
There it is.
He's our strength. If you need strength, why am I going to my neighbor when I know my neighbor can't even pick up his own trash out of his yard? Why don't I go to God?
Amen.
That's where my strength is. It's in the Lord. He's my refuge and my strength. You need strength to stand strong when trouble is all around you.
Amen.
When the world seems to look down on you and turn their backs on you, you need to say, for God I live,
amen,
for God I die.
Come on.
He is the author and finisher of my faith. I use that too much without explaining it. He is the author. What does the author mean? That means he wrote the text. He wrote my life. He's the author and finisher of my life. He began it, he wrote it down, and he connected the dots, and he's finishing it when it's all said and done. He is the author and finisher of my faith. In other words, all my faith is in him. Begins in him and ends in him. In Jesus Christ. That's where I'm at. That's my faith. That's my living. My living is my faith. I live to show my faith. My faith is recognized through my living. God is looking at us and examining. That's why the Bible says an angel writes night and day. The deeds done in the body. It's one of Deacon Jackson's favorite scriptures. Back in the day, he used to say that all the time. I said, Deacon, you ain't got to tell me no more. I know. But that was his favorite. And that's the truth. Angel is writing down our life story. And I'm glad that he is. He says here, therefore will not we fear. In other words, since God is our refuge and our strength, there should be no fear in his people. If there's fear, then that says what? I doubt him. I don't trust him. If you fear, if you have the fear going on in your life, oh, what's coming up next? See, what God uses, and this is the part that the Christian has to understand. God uses incidents and situations in your life to push you to a certain point or a certain direction. One of them that he pushes you to is makes you go to prayer.
Yes.
When situations happen, what do you do?
Pray.
You pray. He allowed that to make you pray. He allowed the difficulty to come to make you pray. He also allowed them to come to make you know who it is, who he is, that he is the author and finisher.
Yes, sir.
He makes you go to him in prayer.
Come on.
Some church people just don't understand that God is putting us on a trial. We are being tested every day by our Savior. Oh, guess what? Guess what? God, if he could, if he would, if he wanted to, would allow Satan to have full access to you. And you don't want that.
Want that.
You don't want that.
You don't want
that. That means somebody, that troubled, messed up mind, Satan, if God allowed him to have full access to you and me, man, we couldn't stand. We couldn't stand. But what we have is God's shield. That's why he told Satan about Job. He said, you can touch his material stuff, but don't touch his soul. You can touch his body, but don't touch his soul. God shielded him. Because if Satan had access,
come on,
he tore Job's soul up. But see, that's what he would do you and me. But God doesn't allow him to have full access. But see, look, just think, if God did not allow us to have anything come to us, how do we get corrected from the wrong that we do, the mistakes? See, that we won't get better. We get better because we know that we have to serve and be ready for God's questions, for God's concern. Because he comes through you in the Holy Spirit. So he's going to come through the Spirit and say, wait a minute, you knew you shouldn't be here. You know you shouldn't have said that to that person. You know that. See, that's the Holy Ghost in you.
Thank you.
And God saying, oh, the Holy Spirit is, he's doing his job.
Right.
Because see, but if he ain't correcting us, we could be some crazy people.
Yeah.
And call ourselves Christians. You know what I mean? Crazy. Call ourselves Christians. And be doing some crazy stuff. And we think we got it going on. We know God's got our back, he got our front. We know everything's good. So, but thank God he lets us know, respect him.
Yes.
If you're his children, then show the life of one of his children.
Amen.
You say you love God, then live before the world in a godly manner.
That's it.
Respect God's ways. Amen. Look at his book and let the book be your guideline.
Come on.
And I heard Charles Stanley saying, let it be your compass. Let the book be your compass. You know, a compass is what, it has true north in the compass. It always knows where north is. And so that compass will follow. If you follow that compass, it will carry you true north. But if you get it beside a whole lot of metal,
come on,
it could get confused. So you got to make sure you don't let it get too close to metals, because it will throw the compass to a, it will weight it left or right. And see, that's what Satan does. He weights us. He makes us go a one way or the other. But see, when you got God by yourself, because he's true north, God pulls you north. God guides you north. And our north, we're talking about north, is our heavenly home. We're talking about going to Jesus. We're talking about going back, our heavenly home. God is our heavenly home, and he's leading us toward him. Everything on this earth that you and I go through is pulling us toward our God and to our final destination. That's where he's moving you and me.
Thank you, Lord.
I know that's all right, church. I know that's all right. I know it's important to be realized that everybody's overwhelming stuff. Stuff that overwhelms you. Some people are not overwhelmed by that same thing.
That's right.
It takes different things to cause us to feel overwhelmed. We're made in his image, right?
Yeah.
And he made, but we're all made different, even though we're in his image. So what makes Deacon Jackson, what makes Deacon Smith, what makes Sister Smith move, might not move you.
Amen.
Some people are affected differently by what their lives are being impacted through. Some people are different. Some people, you know, I'm like this. You touch my children. I don't care if they're grown men. You got a problem on your hand. That's my son. That's my daughter. You got a pop. We've been asked to start feeding back again down at the motels. We've been asked to do that. I told the person, said, let me talk with the church and see if anybody's interested, because I'm a little bit not quite wanting to do it. I like to see it get done, but I'm not quite ready for me. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at. And they said, well, we're going to have to give the food to somebody else. And I said, give me time. Let's see if I can find somebody who's willing to do it. But I'm not going to be. I don't mind filling in, but I don't want to be my regular routine. Yes. And you know, wait a minute. Now, I'm not an old man, but I'm getting older. Aren't we, Brother James? Yeah. We're getting older. And so we don't want to be obligated like we used to be obligated. You know what I mean? You just slow down a little bit, and you just want to be able to sit on the porch like I do, and do this. As a car comes by, Sister Diane them see me sometimes. They come by, I'm on my porch sitting right there. That's what I do. I'm enjoying it. I'm retired, except for the church. I'm retired, and I know that this is something that the church should be doing. I have no question about it. It's something that we should be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the church is about. Yeah. Finding ways to help people to help people.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's where we are. And until this, I'm right now in this position. And I said, well, I'll have to find out, because I know personally I'm a little bit on the weak side of that. Mm-hmm. But there's somebody who might find, oh, well, I can do it for a year or 6 months, or somebody might be. And so I don't want to throw it away until I have given it opportunities to see just where it is. But God uses those things. That food thing is a use. It's a way to show somebody the love of Christ.
Right.
It's a way to show somebody that a church is not just sitting on Sundays, but Monday through the week, is there to help somebody.
That's right.
That's the purpose of it.
Sure.
To show the reality of Christ in the lives of people, and not just on Sunday morning.
All right.
Now, I know somebody might say, think about it if you're interested. But you might know somebody that we can use to do that. There's a way for us to make it work for somebody. There's a way. But we just got to find out how to make that work. I want to say this, Lord, you are my refuge and my strength.
Yes.
I want you to say it with me. Lord, you are my refuge and my strength. Won't you say it one more time? Lord, you are my refuge and my strength. And I want you to remember that today, tomorrow, and I want you to carry it with you and be reminded that He is your refuge and your strength. And that everything that you have comes from and through Him. And you got to be reminded of that. You got to go. That's where you go to. If you don't go there, then you will forget. You got to be reminded. We have to be reminded that He is our refuge and our strength. And so we see this is where David, or the text, is saying, Look what he says in verse 4. There's a river, the stream wherever shall make glad the city of God.
Yeah.
The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The city of God is Jerusalem. The city of God is the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. That's where we are today. We don't have Jerusalem's. We're in the kingdom of God. The city of God is the kingdom of God. That's where we live. We live in God's kingdom here. We're kingdom workers.
Come on.
That's what we're doing right now. We're working in the kingdom. You are a kingdom worker. But if you're not working and in the kingdom, What does that say? I ain't got to answer that for you, do I? Let's look at it. If you are a kingdom worker, but not working, what does that say? You're not doing something. You're not being where you were in the kingdom. You're not where you should be in the kingdom. Now, I will say this, because that's what I was just showing you, the food thing. There's a certain age when God lets us slow down. So we ain't got to go, Sister Barbara, we ain't got to go knock on the doors like the younger people.
I know that's right.
We don't have to go and do this and that. But see, when we were younger, we did those things. But see, the church has to maintain those ministries that it can be a viable, V-I-A-B-L-E, a viable avenue for us to work and serve God. We have to keep everything going. I know our church is senior laden. Senior laden.
Yeah,
we are. Right. That's who we are. Most of us are 55 and over. The high percentage of our church. So we can't do a lot of things that we did when we were in our 40s. We're slowing down. But we have to bring in younger folk to do some of the leg work.
Yes.
You hear me, Brother Nair? I know you hear me. I know he's a busy man. Hear you young folk back here. We need your help. We need your help. Because we can't do it like we used to do. But the kingdom of God's work has to be going forward. Because we are what? Kingdom workers. We pray for you as you go out. We help set up and administer, but you do the labor. But that's the way it works now. We are all kingdom workers, building God's kingdom here on earth.
Oh, yeah.
Or supporting it and strengthening it, whatever God is asking us to do. I'm going about close here. I guess one point I want to make. The scripture says, in him, in Christ, we live, move, and have our being. We live in Christ. That this is this kingdom work. We live in him. We do, we move. We go to where he wants us to go. And our being is how we exist in him. We live, move, go where we go. Have our being in Christ. Everything is in him.
Yes, sir.
That's who we are. He's making us to become more like him every day.
Thank you.
We can't quit. We are obligated to serve. Why? Because Jesus didn't quit on us. Did he not? Did not Jesus go down into the grave for you and me?
Come on.
Did not he rose from the dead for you and me? Did not he ascend to the Father for you or me?
Come on.
He did it all for us. He took care of us. He allowed himself to be humbled by the things of the world. He didn't have to, but he did it. He did it all for you and for me. That name, that wonderful name, he can do everything but fail. That name of Jesus, the lily of the valley, that bright and morning star. Do you know him? Ain't he all right now? He can do all but fail. That man named Jesus. That old song, there's a man upstairs. I go, that's not. There's a man upstairs.
Yes, sir.
His name is Jesus. And see, he's the author and the finisher.
That's right.
See, this text was written before he came by Mary. But he'd already been living years before he came. Eons. From the beginning, he was already there. He's our refuge and our strength. Our refuge is in Jesus Christ. We are saved by and through the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. He made it for you and me. So therefore, we can't quit because he's still our refuge. Amen. He hasn't stopped being our refuge. We still got to serve him. Got to serve him till we die. That's what we have to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen.